Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, October 16th, and we are live here from Indianapolis, Indiana. Crossroads Sports Radio, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, where we do our shows every single week. So thank you. Shout out to Blog Talk Radio. Shout out to our other sponsors, Drone Pro Media, as well. We have an action-packed show for you tonight. We've got NFL talks with the Colts this past weekend. We have the college football recap, as well as the preview for this upcoming week in the season. And also, we have the NBA preview. The NBA starts in an hour. We've got two crucial matchups tonight. This to kick off the NBA season. Your Indiana Pacers start tomorrow night against the Memphis Grizzlies. So that will be a great game. And we're joined once again by our guest, Jonathan Birdsong. John, JB, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Brandon Lee, thanks for having me. Hello, everybody.
Oh, I was just telling everybody, John, before you got on, a loaded sports night with a lot of different action going on. So this is one where you sit at home, you just put on the TV and enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. The three major American sports are on tonight: baseball, football, basketball, opening, obviously. So, yeah, definitely a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got wrestling, SmackDown 1000. So you can catch that on a recap on a DVR.
Absolutely.
And the biggest thing, you know, I was talking tonight with the – we'll get to the NBA here in a bit, but we're 24 hours away from the Indiana Pacers season starting, and there's a lot of buzz in the air. A lot of people around the town are very excited for this team in this season. I will be there tomorrow night, and I'm excited to see kind of how we do against this Memphis Grizzlies team and the overrated Chandler Parsons that's on this team.
Well, I don't think Chandler Parsons is going to be who I'll be looking for tomorrow as far as Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, I'm sure it's all be sort of a matchup nightmare. He usually always is, as he's a dinosaur, you know what I'm saying? But I give the Pacers the nod in the opener. More interesting is that Miles Turner got a new contract deal. I know everybody's buzzed about that. So Miles Turner will be extending his time with the Indiana Pacers. He's actually excited about staying here.
Yeah, that was news that broke yesterday. I was at the optometrist yesterday, and next thing I know, my phone just starts going crazy, and Turner accepted that four-year, $72 to $80 million contract. Just depends on numbers-wise on what bonuses and incentives he gets. But he says he loves the city. Can't see himself anywhere else, and he wants to stay in Indy. So that's great news. And, John, it really, you know, before we get into football, if you look at that contract and you look at a lot of the other contracts around the league, that's actually a great deal for Indiana to get to keep Miles. Most bench players are making between 12 to 15 mil themselves, and that's bench players.
Yeah, I'd like to take a temperature of, like, folks. People think that he didn't deserve it, or that it was, you know, said Pacers should move on. And my automatic response is, well, this is a guy that you developed. This is a guy that actually wants to be here. This is a guy that, you know, that, again, like you kind of allude to, we're not necessarily breaking the bank on per, you know, saying per his, you know, what he makes per the average per versus somebody else in his similar position. Do we have room for opportunity with Miles Turner? Absolutely. But my automatic response is, if you don't have players like Miles Turner on your team, then who else are you going to have?
Right.
Because those kind of players, they don't – I mean, you know, it hurts. They don't want to – but they don't want to come here to Indianapolis. They just don't. So he's a cultivated product. Let's hope he continues on the upswing and doesn't necessarily – once he starts getting – the big money checks coming in, he, you know, starts resting on his laurels. But I think it was an excellent sign.
Yeah, good, good. I agree wholeheartedly with that. We'll get into basketball here towards the end, but let's automatically start out with the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts. Let's go ahead and start with that atrocity of a game that was on Sunday against the Jets. Jonathan, you called it yourself last week. That was a must-win that Indianapolis needed. And my friend, it did not happen starting on the very first play of the game.
Yeah, you think a lot of factors are, you know what I'm saying, if you played all the games on paper, folks playing, some people think Todd Bowles is on his way out and coach playing a team, with a team with who's, critical. You got rookie coach, rookie quarterback, and this kid slices up better than he did I can't remember what USC, what bowl they played in, but he played better against the Colts than he played in the bowl game. So that kind of shows his upswing, but also kind of shows the ineptitude of what's going on with the Colts once we have on the field. And, the receivers can't catch and defense can't get consistent enough pressure. And obviously you can throw on the Colts secondary. So
absolutely.
Leaving the Colts with a lot of questions going into the, the rest of the part of the season.
Yeah, there was some highlight, some good things I saw from one bright spot was Marlon Mack, his first game really back, getting action. Mack carries 89 yards rushing. They showed somewhat of a running game. So that's a positive sign if you're, trying to look at it from a Colts standpoint. Luck was still 23 of 43, 301 yards, four touchdowns, and three picks. Interesting stat I did hear yesterday was Andrew Luck currently is on pace. Now, mind you, John, this is a guy coming off of the shoulder surgery and all that. He is on pace to set the league record, NFL history, number one, on pass attempts for a season for a quarterback. Is that really what you want with coming off this injury for 2 years?
I think what the Colts organization, what Colts fans should want, I know we're poo-pooing, obviously, where the Colts record is at. And we should have beat certain teams, or like the only game I think we were technically out of, it was with the Patriots, but the Colts obviously have, as far as they still, not to make any excuses, they still don't have their A team out there, Brandon. So T.Y.'s
right.
Not out there. Stonzo's technically still not out there. And Doyle's still not out there, so there is some still bright points that they can look upon, and going further. But again, it kind of still boils down to Andrew Luck gonna have to play better.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people were upset because there was after he threw that pick six, they showed a camera on the sideline and he was laughing and joking around. A lot of people got pretty butt hurt here in the city about that. Relax. It's the first play. It was a freak play that happened off a tip. He's allowed to laugh, people. It's the first play of the season or the game.
Yeah, I think it's an overreaction.
Yeah, we are sitting at 1-5 now. I don't know where you turned to this. You've got Buffalo coming in, who's going to be playing their backup quarterback against the Colts this weekend. A very winnable game at Lucas Oil.
I tell you what, if Peterman is he turns out to have a great passing game, then the Colts really will have a lot of things to really actually think about going into next season, because he's a quarterback that's kind of served up on a platter, for the Colts. And the Colts, it's a home game, so the Colts should definitely get, if you can't beat Buffalo Bills, I'm saying, Buffalo is not no chump. They beat teams. They have shocked some teams. But this is a prime, their starters are knocked out. And they still are, somewhat of a question mark road team, right? So,
yeah.
If you can't beat the Buffalo Bills with the backup Colts, And I know sometimes strange things do happen with in backup play, as we saw last night with the San Francisco game.
Yeah.
So sometimes strange things, but like if you can't, but we should, if you can't beat the Buffalo Bills, then this really ain't your, this is really not your season. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I think, you know, like you said, this is a very winnable game for Indy. I think it is a must win, not for them to be looking towards the playoffs, because that's gone for the year. I think it's something for the players to build upon. And you just, if I have to do a prediction out there, I'm going to Colts 31, Buffalo 17. 31-17 Colts. A junk touchdown late by Buffalo makes it from 10 to 17, keeps them, makes the score look okay.
I take that. That makes sense.
So,
anything over 17.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, you know, the Colts today, they signed Dontrell Inman, wide receiver, after they had another guy go on the injured reserve list. He was a former Bear. Also, you may remember him as a former Charger. So he'll add to that Colts wide receiving corps. That's not so much. There's been some talk about the Colts possibly trading for Amari Cooper, and if they should go after Amari Cooper from Oakland, who just got destroyed this past weekend with a concussion. Hopefully he's okay. The Oakland's looking for a first-round pick, maybe even a second-round pick for that. I don't think the Colts are willing to give up a second round, let alone a first round, but I think a third-round pick and maybe a second-rounder in the following year or the year after, that would be a good if the Colts would go after him. But Amari, that you're giving him a playmaking, another playmaker here to help. You got Ryan Grant that's out now. He hurt his leg. I don't know if it's his ankle, I think I saw. So he's out, and I think we're up to 34% of the roster now is on the injury report. So
yeah, you got the best talent. You know, the best talent you have out there is give you the best chance. Give you the best chance to win. And when you're playing with backups, now, again, whatever. I don't want to make too many excuses because that's not how football is played. If you strap up and you're out there, whether you got paid, you know, the contract that Le'Veon wants, or you got to pay the contract that, you know what I'm saying, 10-day guy gets, you're a professional. So, but we do know. But and like I said, to go with that, the best players to make the best plays, so on and so forth. So it is somewhat of a talent issue that we also have seeing with the Colts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick update, Houston Astros just hit a RBI single. We're 2-2 into the fifth inning now. So 2-2 into five. We're hitting the under today. I had the under at 8.5. So as long as we stay at that, we're good. Back to football. Let's go to some of the game recaps. John, the first one I'm seeing here is the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. The Giants, another team that struggling like the Colts, who are going to probably have another one top three picks in the draft. The only signing light they have is Saquon Barkley, and you've got the owner coming out saying that Odell Beckham just needs to shut up and play, quit all the fancy stuff. After you just signed him to a large contract, who is at fault here? Is it the coach, or is Eli Manning past his time and need to retire?
Man, general manager.
It's always the scapegoat, right?
The manager has to look past all the noise. And the noise is what guys say to the media, what media might stir up, and what even ownership might even say. It's all that kind of points to the general manager, because there really is no succession plan, as there has been in with other organizations. You know, as Green Bay has done in the past. With when they succeeded from Favre to Rodgers, or how San Francisco had great notoriety, you know, with their succession plans, how they had, you know, they had quarterbacks ready to go when just in case, you know, the next guy, you know what I'm saying, is ready to get too old, you know. So, but there really has never been no succession plan. They always just assumed that they could just surround Eli Manning with whatever talent, you know what I'm saying, and they could work out an 8-8 or a 9-7 and somehow get to work their way to Super Bowl. Well, you know, Eli hasn't been that lucky as he used to be. And, you know, some of that defense that the Giants used to you know, close out opponents they don't have anymore. They just don't. So it's really a team in transition. So it looks, you know, the scapegoat really, you know, on the field is Eli Manning, because his play is the thing that we remember used to be good, and now it is no longer good. But hey, right. He still got the reputation that hey, it's the New York Giants. But hey, this is not the New York Giants that he beat, you know, Tom Brady twice with, you know. So they'll definitely be looking at whether now. Here's the real question, Bill Brandon: is he going to retire if they do move on? If they do part ways,
I think he should.
You think he should?
I do. I think it's Eli's. I think it's his time to go. Too many times quarterbacks stay in this league when they should have retired a year earlier. And he should be seeing for his own health that they're not doing anything to improve that offensive line for him. I mean, my God, the Eagles got to him so many times in that backfield. It's a very cloudy situation in New York. I don't see him playing anywhere else. And I don't see it working out there for him unless they overhaul that entire offensive line. I think he should, like Peyton, I think he should have retired. Eli should have retired last year after they already tried to bench him for the backup. That's my
right.
So that's my theory on him.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and I mean, the quarterback prospects from this year maybe not as sexy as it has been in like the last 2 years. You never know who's going to come out. Not sure what's going to happen with the kid from Georgia, if he's going to come out. The one that shocked me is that all eyes on the kid from Duke. As far as the saying, you know, he's been on some guys. A lot of people's intent. He said he has a lot of intent, even though he plays at Duke. I guess he's like, Duke quarterback? Are you serious? How is that transition? How is that competition that he's playing with, that he's playing with and against transition? Well, dude, I don't argue with you. I ain't their expert. I'm just going to like, they say that kid who plays for Duke is going to be somebody that the scouts will be looking at. He said he's got a lot of intangibles like Trubisky.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen him. I do think there is one guy that's better than him right now, is the top overall quarterback, and the Giants are already starting to scout them. I was reading a couple articles today. Giants scouts have already been to three of his games, and that's Justin Hubert. A lot of people in this area may not know who Justin Hubert is. He is the quarterback out at Oregon, and I watched him play on Saturday when they had the 3:30 game, and the kid looks good. The kid has an arm. He's mobile. It's exactly what the Giants need. I think if Eli sees this writing on the wall that, hey, they're already starting to look at this guy and they're already scouting, and it's five games into the season for next year. But he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. I think the Giants do take him wherever they're at.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be real. It's going to be a year of transition.
Yeah, absolutely. Update, Red Sox just hit a solo blast down the foul pole line. Red Sox lead 3-2. So the under is still in play right now. another game, Falcons and Buccaneers. Matt Ryan finally held on. Jameis Winston's first full game back as quarterback. He did look good. I had him in one of my fantasy leagues. He played pretty well. The run game is still sloppy, but Atlanta can't play defense against anybody. So I don't see them doing much the rest of the year. They did mention today Devontae Freeman goes on the injured reserve list. Could come back later on towards the end of the season. But they've got that Ish Smith guy and Tevin Coleman from IU as their running back. So I think they're okay there. But Julio Jones, still no touchdowns this season, which is crazy. And he's having his best statistical year by receiving catches and yards.
Yeah, I go the other way. Jameis Winston's going to have to put – he's going to string together some wins if he's going to be taken seriously by Tampa Bay by giving a contract.
Yeah, I agree. And this is – I think
otherwise,
this is a
– otherwise, they'd be looking at Huber as well.
Yeah, that's very true. Next game, we have the Steelers' 28-21 victory over the Bengals. Fourth quarter comeback – or second half comeback for Pittsburgh. It was tied up at halftime, and then the Bengals strike towards the end of the game, and then Pitt left too much time on the clock, which seems like the mantra for this weekend. There was three games now. Too much time left. And Big Ben drove them down, and Antonio Brown of Cincinnati, as Cincinnati always does in their terrible ways against the Steelers, they sold out for the run, and they did a little pick pass to Antonio Brown for the win. So Steelers win 28-21, 3-2 overall with a one tie. I won't say we're back. We're working our way back. But we've got a bye week this week. And then next Monday, Le'Veon will report. And then we play Cleveland. So at home. So we could easily be coming up 4-2. We're only a half game out of the division, if you look at it. So if you had to tell me this is what your option could be after the first two games of the season, I would take this. You're sitting 0-1-1, and I can be 3-2-1. I'll take it.
Well, you know, per, I really wish we could get listen to some audio from our, like some of your rant. I want to tell you, I told you so, man. You know, you got to look at the division in which you play, and I kind of, you know, wish hope to the Colts fans as well. Like, look at the division in which you play. Teams are going to win early. Like, the teams are hyped. You know, they come with a lot of energy early on in the season. And the water kind of finds its level, and they kind of show their true nature. And you know, come October, November, December, when it's win time, you know, try to grind it out. They're nowhere to be found. Pittsburgh will figure its way out. Win more division games than you lost, then you lose, and then you're in the playoffs. I still want to see I'm sure they will too, because they still gotta, you know, they kind of gotta get their edge back. I know there's a lot of drama, a lot of things been said, and you know, this guy hasn't reported, and you know, everybody thinks that Tomlin kind of lost the locker room and whatnot, but they still got some things to prove, because the AFC had just been put on notice this past Sunday between the Patriots and Kansas City. And Pittsburgh really would need to have to get their act together if they want to be even thought about in one of those teams' category.
Yep.
But like I said, they got time to work on it.
Absolutely. One sneaky stat. You know, I love these little sneaky stat nuggets. In the last nine road games for Pittsburgh, they are 8-0-1 in their last nine road games. That's pretty good for a team. So typically it's a lot harder to win on the road than at home. So 8-0-1, I'll take that. We'll continue moving on. They've got some easy games, somewhat easy games coming up. But towards the end of the season, it gets very hard. You still have games at Baltimore. You still have a home game against New England. I think so. You got a lot of tough. They played well against Kansas City, and you see how Kansas City's doing.
Right.
So they're not far off. And here's my thing. You know, I got to thinking the other night is, yeah, their defense is terrible. But right now, John, if you look at this league, whose defense is besides the Bears is good? I mean, the Patriots are giving up points. The Chiefs are giving up points. These teams are giving up the points, just like Pittsburgh. So, you know, maybe you don't have to be really good at defense. You just got to score them or have the ball last.
Yeah, but it's still football, and it's going to come down to defense wins championships. I do believe that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Cleveland Browns, they lost 38-14 to the Chargers. It was not even a close game. Phillip Rivers just torched the Browns. I saw some of the highlights from the game. My God, the Chargers defense, they're actually decent.
I want to trust the Chargers, but they can't beat New England.
No, not at all.
Can't beat New England. I want to trust them, but they can't.
Another team you can't trust, one of your favorites, the Houston Texans, who fell into a victory against the Buffalo Bills thanks to Peterman's two interceptions.
Man, they're again. I think they're tied for the first in the AFC South.
Yes, they are.
The division's winnable. Tennessee blanked out. This past weekend. Let Mariota get sacked. I don't know how you let your teammate get sacked. How many times you get that? 11 times?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, man. What is going on? The AFC South is still winnable. Still up for grabs.
All three teams are 3-3, and you got the Colts at 1-5, so we're only two games back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another shocker. Chicago Bears lose 31-28 in overtime to the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins gift wrapped a victory to the Bears when Kenyon Drake fumbled right at the end zone. I thought that might have been it, but then the Bears didn't know to get 4 yards and be aggressive, and they gave their kicker Parkey a long kick who went a little bit to the right. Dolphins came back and won. I'm still not a believer of this Miami Dolphins team. 4-2, but I'm not a believer.
Absolutely not. Miami's a team you can come in and what's special about them? What do they do special?
Nothing.
Do they run the ball? I mean, do they run? Do they pass rush? Do they have great receivers? I mean, what their problem is, Brett? They're not confident. That's my opinion because I don't think they have a real leader. They don't necessarily have real leadership at the quarterback position. That's what I see in Miami. A good team on both sides of the ball, but where's their guys? Hey man, we want to try this guy out here, and he's going to lead us to whatever. They don't have that.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not ready. Don't trust them at all. Don't trust them at all. Don't trust them at all.
If you look at another terrible team, the Seahawks in London knocked off the Raiders 27-3, and everything that can go wrong for Oakland has, and they look like a team that's, like you said, Chucky. It's passed him by.
It's passing by. They're not listening. I don't think he's not going to quit. Things like that. There's got to be a way to bring this up, but he's gonna have to make some calls. They're gonna be looking. They're the worst now. We said the Colts gonna beat Buffalo. Well, there's a possibility. I'll give it a 5% chance that Buffalo wins that game. But I tell you what, Brandon, if the Colts do not beat the Raiders, then the Colts are the worst because the Raiders are the worst team in the league.
Oof. Ooh, you want to put them on notice?
The Raiders are the worst team in the league.
All right, you heard it there, folks. Jonathan Birdsong, Colts are on notice if they do not beat the Raiders.
Raiders scouts need to be at Alabama games practices right now because that's what they need to pick. Alabama or LSU, somebody from one of those two schools. But they're the worst team in the league.
I can't fault you on that. I actually agree with you.
I say Arizona's better than them.
Ooh. Okay. That's not much.
That far greater, right.
Not much. The St. Louis. Wow, the Los Angeles Rams. 23-20 victory over the Broncos. Never was really a doubt in Denver. A late touchdown by the Broncos, junk time by Demaryius Thomas. Made the score close, but Rams continue their dominance, John. They are just rolling along.
They are rolling along. Again, they're going to – they're led by Todd Gurley. Who says running back running the ball is not – if not a principal in winning football games, or it's nutty. And I see why Le'Veon, I kind of see why Le'Veon kind of held out, because running back, well, special running backs, deserve to be paid. And I know that's kind of off topic or whatever, but like running the ball is, if you have a special running back and Le'Veon is special, as is Todd Gurley, it just makes the passing game that much more easier, and everything all kind of like opens up. I don't know if you have the numbers on and I don't have them either, on what the Patriots did. I felt like the Patriots ran all over anytime they wanted to. Anytime they wanted to run the ball 4 yards, 5 yards, they got it from Kansas City. I don't know the total stats, but I mean they don't have a special.
They ran for 173 yards, 173, 106 from Sony Michel. James White had 39. So
yeah, you have to be able to run the ball. I mean, man, you got to have a great quarterback to get to deliver and to be the leader and whatnot. And you got to have receivers to pick up, but you got to be able to run the ball as well. And the teams that have losing records, I don't think have great. I mean, it kind of correlates. They don't have great running games. Colts, sorry. You know.
Yeah. Rams got some easy games coming up. They're at the 49ers this Sunday, who just played against Packers last night, and then they are at home against the Packers. So they play at the 49ers, then home against the Packers, and then the one I'm looking forward to, which is in 5 weeks from now. It's a Monday night football game the week before Thanksgiving. Monday night football against the Chiefs out in L.A. That's going to be a great game.
That's going to be a great game. I hope, like I said, everybody is, you know, not necessarily a lot of guys are going to be hurt and whatnot. I just hope nobody's injured. And we get the full Rams versus the full Kansas City Chiefs. That game
might
go to 50. In the
50s. Yeah. One of the shocker games of the weekend was the Dallas Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars, 40-7 Cowboys. I did not expect this, John. What was your thoughts?
Did not expect that at all. Man, Jacksonville misses Leonard Fournette. Oh, my goodness. Kind of alludes to my other comment about running backs being important. Jacksonville is a team that likes to play defense and control tempo, and they can't control tempo. I mean, you're forcing Blake Bortles to become a passing quarterback, and that's like laughable. So they really miss Fournette. He adds to their be able to control the game. Now, again, how they allow Dallas to score 40 points is still much, you know, as a defense, that's still a head scratcher. But
right.
Dallas makes Dallas feel good. I mean, especially coming out of all the you know, criticalness of the ownership and people had about, you know, the play calling from the coach from Dallas. So, it seemingly, right, feels like the locker room rallied behind Jason Garrett and got him a blowout win over, you know what I'm saying, AFC over somebody, right?
So
maybe they can get some carryover from in Dallas from that. I don't know. I still think Dallas has some talent issues. Just, you know, they got a little bit more talent than, let's say, a team like the Colts, but they still have some issues to where who is he really throwing the ball to? Who is that? What receivers? Who's out there? You know, we know
Cole Beasley.
Right. So.
Yeah, and Dak, actually, you know, you talk about Zeke. Zeke Elliott ran for 106 yards. Dak Prescott, 11 carries for 82 yards himself. So Dak was not only passing but finally running the ball too. Now, you probably don't want your quarterback running that much and getting that many yards in this day of age. But, you know, they did pretty well. And they moved to 3-3 on the season. And it's funny, they shut up your boy Jalen Ramsey, who didn't have much to say after the game in his post-game press conference.
Yeah, I would imagine. 40, I think the score probably was like 40-7. So.
Yeah, yep. We're going to skip over the Ravens and Titans game. That was just complete garbage of a game.
Horrible.
The one that everybody loved most, the Patriots 43, Chiefs 40, the shootout, Tyreek Hill had 3 touchdowns, 142 yards receiving. Patrick Mahomes, 2 for 352 and 4 touchdowns. Sony Michel had 2 touchdowns himself. Brady threw for 340. It is 31 first downs for New England, 18 for the Chiefs. It was a back and forth game. There was only one punt in the game, and it was by Kansas City. One spot I figured, you know, where Mahomes needs to grow on, and we're going to see him grow from it, was right before halftime. They were getting into field goal range, and Mahomes forced one in at Travis Kelce in the end zone. There was about 3 defenders around there. It got picked off. Good teams like the Patriots and Tom Brady, who know they're going to get the ball to start the second half, as they always do, they're right there. So what if it's not there? We're going to take the field goal. We'll get the points. We're going to get the ball right back to start the second half. And what did the Chiefs do when they got the ball in the second half? They scored. So right there is a growing opportunity for Mahomes. He'll grow from it. He'll learn. But that just shows right there, from a great quarterback to somebody that's up and coming.
Like I said, if this kid can stay 100% for the next 10 years, he'll blow everybody's records away. The way his approach and how he plays football makes you think, like, man, if Aaron Rodgers is really the best, then what is this kid? You know. But again, he's got to continue to build a resume. I still got to. You know, you cannot. You're not gonna win. I tell you what, you're not gonna win if you turn the ball over in Foxborough. You're not gonna win. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You're not gonna win. So, but again, on a neutral field, I still give them. I definitely still give them the edge. If the Patriots had to play them in Kansas City, but on a neutral field, which I know it's not gonna happen. But on a neutral field, I still would get the edge. They just have Tom Brady and Gronkowski, and I don't know how the hell. How did you lose Edelman? I don't understand. I don't understand Tom Brady. He only goes to so many people, and you know he's one of them, right? So how do you lose him? But I guess that kind of just goes, you know, praises his talent, you know, his elusiveness of Edelman, but. Kansas City, now here's what they can't do, Brandon. They can't afford to lose too many other AFC games because right now they still, if the playoffs started today, they would still have home field advantage. But if they lose another game in Foxborough, I still wouldn't pay for them.
Yeah, I agree. Another comeback from your boy Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it was drawn up. It was going to happen. You knew that the Niners couldn't hang on in that game in the end. And the Packers win 33-30. Last second field goal, Mason Crosby redeeming himself.
Man, 49ers backup didn't look that bad.
No, he didn't.
For the first couple quarters, 49ers still a team in somewhat of, I know, that's my word, transition. And of course, with the Garoppolo, oh my God, it's a tongue twister. Garoppolo injury kind of put their whatever goals they had probably to the side. Aaron Rodgers, of course, pulls out that magic. How much magic does he got? You know, because there's magic, and then there's the reality of playing with. Cause, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's causing problems, but it does have still. Run around with a brace, so I just don't know. Sometimes that's just eventually that stuff will catch up to you. But man, he pulls out some magic.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, if we look at Week 7, any preview games I see interesting? Patriots do travel to Chicago, take on the Bears. That one's an intriguing game to me. The Panthers going to Philadelphia. That's another intriguing game with me. And really, that's about it on the things that look at me. And I'm like, hey, this game's one to hone in on. Maybe the Cowboys Redskins, just because it's a division game. But other than that, and then you're obviously interesting Colts and Bills. Now Jacksonville and Houston play. So that's going to one of those two teams is going to get another loss that the Colts can gain on. And then the Titans actually travel to San Diego. Well, actually, they don't travel to San Diego. The Titans and Chargers are going overseas to London. They're going to play a 9:30 a.m. game on Sunday. So expect if the Titans lose that one, there's another. So you're going to have two teams within one game of the Colts if the Colts can get a victory. So it's not too far-fetched that the Colts could be back up there.
Man, God bless the NFL, and its intent is to broaden the internationally. I don't know if the Londoners really care. I think they take football as a novelty, but I don't think they care. Brandon, you ever think they're going to put a team in Europe?
I do.
Wow.
We'd
have to have teleportation.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Jacksonville's owner, he's already put his bid in to buy this Wembley Stadium.
Wow.
So he's put a bid in for $620 some million to buy the stadium, Wembley Stadium, and move the Jaguars over there. I just read the report this past weekend. His bid was sent in to the European Association over there. So I don't think we're too far away, my friend, from the Colts being in a division with a team from London.
I need to research it. I wonder what kind of under-the-table agreement they have with the CFL that prevents the NFL from putting a team
in Canada.
Yeah. I know in years past, Buffalo had issues with their playing field. They played some preseason games in Toronto.
Right.
But I just don't understand. Of course, Canada maybe is not as sexy as England, right? But a stream of revenue is a stream of revenue. So I have to research it and see wonder why. Because are Canadians Americans? I mean, do they have the same rashness for football that Americans have?
They love Canadian football, so why not?
I'm just kind of curious why they've never tried it that way instead of going across the ocean.
Yeah. Okay. One last thing on NFL that I saw this weekend, and I actually saw it yesterday. By the way, folks, if you do want to follow us on Twitter, at Brandon Reef and then at Three Foolish Men for Jonathan. Jonathan, you actually sent a tweet, and I loved your little tweet with Dan Dockich yesterday. That's why I marked it on here, my page. You tweeted to Dan Dockich, there's no way that Luck's through five games is a B+. Not if Brady and Mahomes are playing at this level. So you're telling me Dan Dockich said that he was going to be at a B?
No, one of the folks in comments on between Dockich and Big Joe's and Grady show. You know, if you listen to, you know, I kind of you listen to certain people because they give good advice. You know what I mean? And like between Grady show and JMZ show and Dockich's show, they bring on pundits and people with hot takes, and sometimes you learn how to siphon out the ones, you know, the BS from the, you know, so, oh man, God, I actually know what he's talking about. And some pundit came out and said, man, they graded Andrew Luck's play, and guys gave it, it's like, dude, that's awful coddle. It's like, gave him a B- and a B+, and there's no way.
No.
And I'm just being honest. Like, there's no way he'd give a 1-5 quarterback. You know, would he have given Andy Dalton 2 years ago? Oh, I can't remember. Maybe not 2 years ago. I can't remember when the Bengals started out horribly. But would you give him, you know, whatever year it was? I know it's recent year. No. Everybody said
no.
Andy Dalton was horrible. You know, so Andrew Luck, I mean, we love him. He's a nice guy, pat on the back, but we have to be a little bit more critical of what we're seeing out here on the field.
Yep, I totally agree. If I had to give him a grade right now, I would give it a solid, just a regular C.
Yeah.
You're giving less than a C?
No. I said, yeah, that's what he should have got. There's no way.
Okay.
Mahomes and Tom Brady, like that was a show, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
That's an A. There's no way. I mean, there's no way where Andrew Luck is better as a B+. There's no way. So,
Okay. Moving to college football, the week that we just had, the Michigan Wolverines,
Shock.
John. Wow.
Shock.
You Shock
know,
City.
My good friend Paul Feinbaum. he's an Alabama mark, if not an SEC mark, right? But he's all in on Michigan's defense. It takes a lot for him to be all in on anything, and he's all in on their defense. So that sets up this collision course between them and Ohio State even more critical, because that's only how Michigan gets back into the national title picture, if they beat Ohio State.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of ranked teams losing this past weekend. Georgia losing to LSU. It's funny because on our pick'ems, I took Georgia, but on my betting, I took LSU. So call me crazy for that. But shocker there, Wisconsin just getting thumped by Michigan. Notre Dame surviving. They survived against Pittsburgh. I thought we almost had another team go down.
Yeah,
but
soccer was Penn State losing to Sparty.
Yep. There's a lot of Michigan State.
Yeah, that's the thing. Michigan State beat Penn State. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of interesting. Washington losing to Oregon. That was a big game for the Ducks.
Yeah. Pac-10 is officially out of it, that's a championship bowl contingency, because they've beaten up on one another.
Yes.
So bad. So Notre Dame has controls their own destiny. They cannot lose. There's only a handful of games on there that will raise my eyebrow. Now to the Notre Dame marks, they think they're going 12-0. Right, and they might, but they think they're going cakewalk 12-0, and I don't think Syracuse or Northwestern, definitely not Northwestern, is going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, USC could be tough. They're playing at USC. I mean, I know they blew them out last year with Denard on the team, but that one could be interesting. Don't look it over. Looking at our picks from last week, both of us went 4-2. The mix was, I took the Indiana Hoosiers finally, and guess what? One time I take them, they get destroyed. Iowa, you took, so you got that right. We both got Ball State. We both got Purdue. Michigan, I took the Wolverines. You took Wisconsin, and then we both took Notre Dame. So overall, we're both 32-14. Going into this week's games. Oh, by the way, poor Scott Frost. Oh, he had the lead, double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and you let Northwestern back into it, and they end up winning in overtime. The heartbreak continues.
Right. When's he going to pick up his first win? Well,
I don't know. Speaking of picking up wins, our Crossroads Sports Pick'em for Week 8, if we can give me a second here, loading up everything. We gotta play our music as we do our picks, as always. First game of the week, that'll be Saturday night, ABC national televised game. I will be there in attendance up in the press box. Number 2, Ohio State, 7-0, taking on the Boilermakers of Purdue, 3-3. I think Ohio State wins this one big. I'm going to say 63-31, Ohio State.
Ooh. It won't be that much bloodletting, but Ohio State will win.
Ohio State. John, Purdue can't play defense. They can't play defense.
He would not chop off. He would not chop off the Bulls.
Rivalry game number 6, Michigan traveling to number 24, Michigan State. John, does Michigan continue it, or does Sparty get another upset?
I got Michigan in a close one, real close. Because when these two teams play, it doesn't matter what level of talent is out there. If Michigan has the best talent, or if Sparty has the best talent, or whatever, they they bring out their best in one another. So, but I got Michigan in the closer.
So do I. I'm going to take Michigan as well. Number 18, Penn State, lost two straight games. Traveling to Bloomington to take on the Indiana Hoosiers. John, who do you got in that one?
Hoosiers looked real good 3 weeks ago, didn't they?
Yep. They look good enough for you to take them again?
No, Penn State's going to try to run the score up to make sure that they are heard, their voices are heard.
Interesting.
Penn State.
Penn State, okay. Well, I took Penn State last week, and they lost. I took the Hoosiers last week, and they lost. So something has to give. Usually I go with the home team edge here and the Hoosiers, and Penn State right now is struggling so bad with how they're playing. So I would be stupid to take Penn State in this game, and I'm going to take the Hoosiers, but I got to go McSorley and Penn State with the better team. Penn State gets this one. Could be a close one. Number 16, NC State. Shocker, probably, of the top 25. They're 5-0 currently. Number 16, NC State travels to Clemson. I do think they get their first loss in Clemson against number 2, Clemson.
Yeah. Clemson back on his winning ways.
As long as their quarterback stays healthy.
Right.
Last two games, number 22, Mississippi State, traveling to number 5, LSU. Death Valley, if Georgia can't win in Death Valley, there's sure as hell no way the Mississippi State can.
Right, LSU.
And I'm going to tell you, watch this LSU team. They can sneak their way into that top four. All they got to do, if they beat Alabama, and it's in LSU this year, they beat them, they're in. Done, nothing said. In the final game, our Maction, Eastern Michigan, 3-4, travels to Ball State, 3-4. I'm going to take Ball State in the cards.
It's homecoming weekend. Chirp, chirp, going with Ball State.
Here we go. We all have the same picks this time. Again, both of us are going the same. I almost took Indiana, and I said no. And I almost... They are. They're not ranked by much, but on my top 10 rankings this week, I have Alabama still is number 1. Ohio State, I moved up to number 2. Clemson moved up to 3. Notre Dame moved up to number 4. Within my top 10, LSU now rounds out the 5th spot. I've got the Wolverines of Michigan in at 6 on my power rankings. Texas at 7. Georgia at 8, Oklahoma at 9, and your favorite, UCF at number 10. So I've got the Golden Knights in there.
They dodged a bullet, major bullet this week in themselves.
They did. Memphis gave them a definite run for their money there. So this weekend, like I said, I will be at the Ohio State-Purdue game. I'll be doing some live posts from there throughout the game. It will be a cold one in West Lafayette. I'm going to get up there early in the afternoon. The game will be televised 7:30 ABC. I think Herb Street and Fowler are doing the game, I believe. So they'll just be a couple aisles down from me. So should be a good atmosphere at Purdue. Probably not a good game. Maybe for the first quarter or first half, and then Ohio State, I can see them just busting it open.
Yeah.
So, all right, John, it's come that time. It's been a long off season, but tonight it starts. We've got the NBA back on our televisions. We got two games tonight. First game is the Boston Celtics hosting the Philadelphia 76ers, matchup of the playoff game. And then we have the Oklahoma City Thunder heading to Golden State, take on the Warriors. The champs are going to have their unveiling again. They haven't won that in the last 2 years, just so you know. So a little bit of a hangover, maybe. No Russell Westbrook this evening. No Boogie Cousins this evening. Limited minutes for Draymond and for Gordon Hayward. So you'll see some of the guys in there and play, but I'm just glad basketball is back.
I'm glad basketball is back. Starting early still for me though. I just hope fans don't have overreaction. Let the season sink in for like 3 to 4 weeks before you start reacting and thinking that. Even if Sacramento goes 7-0, this first couple weeks of the season, they're not going to win a title. They're not getting to the playoff final.
You know, people, we live off of that. We live off of overreactions. So, I'm looking forward to.
I just want to keep it like the NBA is a long season. And it's seemingly going to start earlier now, so it's going to be even longer. But it is here, and we're going to cover it and whatnot. But like that, if Golden State, I want to tell somebody, if your team happens to be Oklahoma and they blow out Golden State by 30, don't think that's going to happen come March again, because by that time, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, everybody will be keyed in. And
yeah, Boogie Cousins will be back.
Yeah, but no, it's exciting. It'll be exciting to see the rookies, too, the first crop rookies that we have coming to the league. And then also see I did have a little bit of Giannis hate last couple of weeks. That pertains to where I think the Bucks are going to end up this season, not necessarily his talent. Now, his talent is outworldly, but I still think the Bucks, as far as the East, they'll be underperformers.
Okay. I kind of went through this past week and I did my predictions for each team on wins. I did the seedings, kind of where the media has them, and then as well as where I have them, and then I did my own bracket. So, but the first thing is, you talk about rookies, and I've got three rookies to watch that for Rookie of the Year this year. And they're no particular order really, but Luka Doncic, he's going to be a huge name for Dallas, possibly opportunity to win Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to be really, really good. The other one, it's a sleeper. Not very many people are talking about him winning Rookie of the Year, and I'm going to see him tomorrow night, and I'm excited to see him play. Jaren Jackson Jr. with Memphis. The kid's IQ is way up there, and he can prove he can hit the outside shot. If he can just get a little bit stronger when he's inside there and improve defensively, he can be a 2010 guy this year if he just has to get everything right.
Yeah, I think the knock on him was like they didn't think he was aggressive enough.
Yeah. And then the other one would have been just because of his pure size, DeAndre Ayton, just depending on what, if he averages a high double-double all year for the Suns, he could win Rookie of the Year. So we'll see how he does there. And one I did like, but he's going to be out for some time, Lonnie Walker, the fourth from the Spurs. No Kawhi, no Ginobili, no Tony Parker. But with Popovich there and that rookie from Miami, once he comes back from his torn meniscus, I think he's going to be good for San Antonio. I mean, he's out right now for the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season, but he's another name to watch. I like.
Yeah, I don't foresee Popovich purposely tanking to get either of the top three Dukies that are going to probably come out. it's going to be a different San Antonio team that we see this year, for sure. I'm more excited to see what this Los Angeles Lakers team will look like.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be that bad, John. I really don't. Looking at them, looking how they're playing. Yeah, everybody's expecting them to be really, really good because LeBron's there. I don't think LeBron, and he said, and personally, they're not looking for something like a big, huge, deep run this year. The thing is just kind of they got one-year contract players. I've got them at 46 and 36 this year, and I think that's fair. 46 and 36, to me, that puts them between the 6th and the 7th seed.
I can see that. And with LeBron, they're still better than any bottom tier West team.
Oh yeah, they're going to be second in their division. They're going to beat the Clippers. They're going to beat the Suns, and they'll beat the Kings. That's you know that they're going to beat those three. And the only other team ahead of them is the Warriors. So,
right.
Go ahead and hang another banner up there in Golden State. Let's go division by division real quick. We'll start out with the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division. You've got Boston, Philly, New York, Toronto, and Brooklyn. I've got Boston winning that division. I got actually Boston going to the number one seed. We'll get to my playoff predictions here in a bit, but I've got them winning the division at 61-21. I think they have a really great year this year. I think they have tying for the best record in the league. But I think they'll be there. Philly can be right back behind them there, about 58 to 55 wins. And then Toronto, the worst team, John, I have, is coming out of this division. Second worst team is the New York Knicks. I've got the Knicks at 20-62.
20 games. Wow.
20 games. And that's not even the worst team.
Atlanta's the worst
team. Yes. I got Atlanta at 19.
Yeah. Atlanta's really.
Yeah. I just see the Knicks are just going to struggle. It's going to be.
Yeah, without their superstar. Just signed away. Joakim Noah's gone. Parted ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Robbery.
Oof. I've got so much going on right now. I got the baseball game on one TV. I've got the Sixers and Celtics on the iPad going. Another TV. I've got the SmackDown going on, 1,000th anniversary, or 1,000th episode. So we got a lot going on tonight.
Right. Gonna be on there. I can't wait to see Batista.
Evolution.
It's gonna
be good. Brooklyn Nets. I got them at 36 wins. I think they improved this year. By the way, highway robbery. I think it's Spencer Dinwiddie needs to get his head checked. The fact that he thought that he should have won most improved player over Oladipo. Child, please.
You got to believe in yourself. But no, yeah. No. Brooklyn? Sure. They'll still be picking a lottery next year.
Yeah. Central Division. I'm sorry?
I said bottom half of the lottery.
Bottom half. Okay. Central Division, I get the Indiana Pacers, number one team in the Central. I got them at 53-27. I moved them up a little bit, 53-27. They're not getting any love from anybody in the media, whether it be ESPN or any of these big wigs, Sports Illustrated. 53-27. I think this team has a lot, or 29, have a lot of potential. I'm really excited to see them play this year with this team, as long as they can stay healthy. That second unit's got to be key with Tyreke Evans and Corey Joseph leading the way there.
Yeah, I kind of like the Pacers' chances of getting 50 plus wins. Not necessarily. Hopefully, they use that as fodder to, you know, with them not getting any media love or support. Well, they get support, but like, you know, as far as like national attention, maybe they'll use that as there'll be some statement games to win. We'll see. People change their opinion on the Pacers because Pacers are deep, and they got guys that want to be here between Oladipo and Turner. They got no ego, and everybody, you know, is like I said, the team is deep, and if a guy does happen to have to, you know, like have to sit out like a Carlson, then we've got depth at different positions, so it's going to be. Season as we go
and start. Ooh, what a heck of a play by Kyrie Irving there. Holy cow. I got the Bucks at 51 wins. So they're right there behind Indiana by two games. I think it's going to be a battle all season long for that top spot in the Central. Detroit, I got 43 wins. The Bulls at 37. And I got the Cavs at 32. So I got the Bulls with more wins than the Cavs. That's it might be a shocker to some, but you think the Bulls are going
to
be last, don't you?
Bulls, yeah. In division, yeah.
Well, Gord Hayward looks okay. He's not broken his leg yet, so that's a plus sign for Celtics fans so far. The Southeast Division, I've got the Wizards winning that one with 48 wins. Miami Heat, 46, just two behind it. Charlotte and Orlando are low 30s, and then the Atlanta Hawks at 19 and 63, the worst team in the league, Atlanta Hawks. And I don't know if that's because of me thinking it, or I've just heard you talk bad about Atlanta for so long this year so far that I decided to go drink the Kool-Aid.
The Atlanta Hawks have fallen in love with Trae Young and his potential. And he does have great – I won't take that away. He does have great potential, but to make him move on from the starter that you had in place, who you moved Jeff Teague for, who recently you just moved Jeff Teague for, and now you start the Trae Young, you know, dude, Atlanta doesn't know what they're doing. That's the way I look. That's the way I assess their organization. So,
yeah,
they'll be looking at lottery picks one or two, three next year as well. So yeah, you said 19. Oof. I would even give 15. That'd be after 15 there. Yeah,
your boy Al Horford just blocked Embiid twice, and looks like frustrated a little bit. I know you're a big Horford guy.
Oh man, love Horford ever since the Michigan days. Absolutely.
Going over to the Western Conference, the Northwest Division with Oklahoma City. I've got them winning the division by one game, and actually my sleeper team is out of this division as well. Who the hell's coming out? Oh, Stephanie McMahon. I got so much going. I got Oklahoma City at 54 wins. I have the Utah Jazz at 53. Yes, they played each other last year in the playoffs, and the Jazz won. I think the Jazz have a chance to win this division.
I think the Jazz will win the division. We'll see. As I think Paul will attune his game to Russell Westbrook's game. And things will look different with Schroeder running point guard in Russell's absence. You know, I mean, or heck, they're probably even playing together. I imagine Billy Donovan playing together. So the ball will move more differently. It will move more concisely than it did last year when they had Carmelo and they had to worry about touches for this guy, touches for that guy. And, you know, Russell had to get his triple doubles. You know. But I would say Utah over Oklahoma for sure.
Yeah. If there was one team where I think you blow it up, it's the Portland Trailblazers. I think it's almost time to blow that team up with Dame and McCollum. If things don't get going right by All-Star break, John, I think one of them could easily be traded.
Yeah, this is the team that was number two overall seed and – got swept. And I know that in the past, you know, I mean, that is concerning because again, the team's not getting significantly better.
Your boy Shane O'Mac just came out. Shane McMahon. We got so much going on. I love it. We had an off season that was very slow, so I love all this action that's going on. Score update, Philly 6. No, Philly 8, Boston 4, 7 minutes to go in the first. Pacific Division, real quick on that one. Golden State Warriors, I actually got them with 58 wins. Lower score, or little total this year, 58 and 24. The Lakers at 46. Here's the thing why I do with Golden State, why I drew them back on their wins. Kerr has said during the preseason that he wants the players to enjoy it this year, to just have fun and soak up the atmosphere. Klay Thompson's even said that, and Steph. This is like a final hurrah for all them that they know that, hey, you know what, let's just go out and play, have fun. They know they're going to go to the NBA Finals, so they're going to do what they can to get there, and if they get to the playoffs, that's all they need. They don't need home court advantage. That was seen, obviously, from last year that was not needed. So that's why I got them at 58 wins and not even above Boston.
Yeah, they won't press the issue. Curry won't press the issue, or whoever coaches, you know, because he'll let Draymond coach. At halftime, yeah, they're gonna put it on cruise control, and it's not like they won't be trying. But I'm sure, Brandon, there'll be statement games to where when they have to play LeBron or when they have to play Boston or they have to play some other, you know, high profile team. That's when you'll see an engaged Golden State Warriors team. But yeah, I'll definitely go with that number.
Yeah, and I saw a tweet that you posted earlier this past weekend. I think it was where the Warriors pretty much, this is kind of like the last hurrah. For this team before they kind of split their separate ways. Kind of go into that a little bit. What's your thoughts?
So, yeah. So everything kind of moves. They move to a new facility next year. They move out of Oakland to San Francisco. So that's kind of big. With Clay and Kevin Durant's contracts being up, my brain act, knowing what the salary cap is, somebody would still have to take a pay cut based upon what the market suggests that you could pay Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant. Now, there's potential that could happen, but like after once so much, you only take so many pay cuts, right? Did you think you deserve what you're worth, regardless of you making $10 an hour or $40 million a year? If you deserve, if the market says you are supposed to get $27 million a year because said player over here gets 25 and you're better than said player, then they should pay said player $27 million. And then same thing with, you know, whoever that is, whether it be Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson, whoever deserves it. Well, we all know that we can only have the salary cap suggest, would say that we can only have so many great players on our team. So I think one of them leaves.
Okay. Interesting. Going to the Southwest Division, I've got the Houston Rockets at 61 wins themselves. I got the Rockets as a number one seed. Oh boy. Vince McMahon just walked out. the chairman of the board. Vincent Kennedy. But yeah, I got Houston at 61 wins, just like Boston. Then the Pelicans at 47 wins, the Spurs at 43. I know that's going to upset you a little bit. I got the Spurs at 43 wins. Not making the playoffs, not in the playoffs this year.
It would behoove the Spurs to win like 36 games.
First coach to get fired I have on my list is Fred Hoiberg of the Chicago Bulls.
You know, Fred, college basketball really needs Fred Hoiberg back, so.
Ames. So if you look at your seeding with me, I've got the Celtics at one. I've got the Pacers I got the Celtics at one, Sixers at two, Pacers at three, Raptors at four, then the Bucks, Wizards, Heat, and Pistons as my eight teams. Pistons coming in the eight seed in the East. Comes down to Eastern Conference Finals. I've got the Celtics and Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. I have the Celtics winning four games to two. Against the Pacers. I just think the Celtics got way too much firepower on that team. The Pacers have a great roster themselves, but I just think with the experience and the playmaking of Kyrie Irving and the development of Jason Tatum, you got Al Horford, I just think that's too much, and especially going into Boston. I can't see them going into Boston, John, and stealing multiple games.
Yeah, outside of Golden State, I think the Pacers can take any team to seven. Outside of the state.
Mm-hmm.
In the series, so.
Okay. Western Conference, I've got the Rockets and then the Warriors, I got the Thunder at the 3 seed, the Jazz at the 4, Nuggets, Lakers, Blazers, and T-Wolves with Jimmy Butler over Portland. Over Portland. If Jimmy Butler is not on the team, swap those out. I'll put Portland in over the T-Wolves in the 8 spot. And then in the Western Conference Finals, a rematch of last year, Rockets and Warriors. And then I got the Warriors winning 4-3 again. And then Celtics-Warriors in the NBA Finals. I've got the Warriors winning it in 7 games. It's going to be a great matchup seeing the Celtics against the Warriors in 7.
It should. Man, but that's going to be a long time from now.
Yeah, we've got how many months? What is it, October, so November? 8 months from now.
Right.
That's my prediction. So you have – who you have out of the East? You have the Celtics?
There's no better – they have the talent. They have the depth.
Okay.
As long as Danny – and I don't think Danny wants to rip. Like, I don't – like, it's going to be – it's distractionary for Anthony Davis. For Anthony Davis rumors to be going to L.A. or to be going to Boston or be going to the Knicks or be going to wherever. That's distraction. I don't say the snowball's chance because there's always a chance. I don't think they make a play for Anthony Davis at all this year.
And I really like Terry Rozier. That dude's got some. That guy's got some spunk. Him and Jaylen Brown. Those are two and one. I like to both of those guys. Both of them real good players. I like the way they play. As a Pacers fan, realistically, with this team, what are your expectations with them? Now, I will tell you mine real quick. I expect a Central Division title and obviously an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. That's what I'd be good with this year.
Central Division title, and you got to get past the first round.
Yeah, we haven't gotten past the first round in the last 3 years, so.
I don't care who – I mean, you make excuses. We took LeBron to 7. We got swept by LeBron. We played, you know – like, dude, we lost. Early exit, second round of – you say Eastern Conference Finals. That's lofty. Woo, man, that's big. But I would say you got to get out of the first round.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. What else am I thinking of? Oh, Pacers preview for tomorrow night. Starters for tomorrow night's game. Game 1 against Memphis Grizzlies. Collison, Oladipo, Bogdanovich, Thaddeus, and Miles. Sabonis and Tyreek coming off the bench. I think that's going to be great right there. Those two coming in on that second unit. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Those two play together. Starters for Memphis, Mike Conley out of here in Indianapolis, Garrett Temple, Chandler Parsons, Jamichael Green, and Marc Gasol. Injury report is still to be determined for both of these teams.
Yeah, Pacers should be in a blowout with a stat line that has like 7 Pacers in double digits scoring.
Okay. I am going to say my prediction – 109-94, Indiana.
Yeah. That's about right, but yeah, it should be a fun night where the Pacers they finally got the team, up tempo team. This is what you know.
Yeah, they do. So hopefully that'll we'll get a W there. But anything else you can think of, John? We'll get off here and enjoy our sports for this evening with everybody and. Keep an eye on everything. I'm sure we'll be in constant communication on Twitter.
Yeah, I know we got constant. I know we got it's a sport fanatic kind of night, so we can wrap it up. Whether you're watching football, basketball, or professional wrestling, I hope everybody enjoys yourself.
Okay, I appreciate it, John. You can find him on Twitter at @3foolishmen. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Have a nice night.
See you, buddy. All right, that was Jonathan Birdsong joining us for Crossroads Sports Radio. As always, we'll do a quick ad real quick, and we will finish up the evening. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights.
All right. Once again, thank you for Jonathan Birdsong for joining us. Folks, be sure to check out the website, crossroadsports.us. Check us out on Twitter, at Crossroads Sports, also at Brandon Reef and at Three Foolish Men. Please like, subscribe, and share on our iTunes. Should be another great week of sports. We've got NBA starting back up. We've got continued baseball playoffs going on. Hockey has started. It's getting to that fun time of the year now where we got something every night. So hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you again next week.
Crossroads Sports.